Hi, welcome to Funny Tinged. I'm Seema.
I'm Nima.
And this week we are joined by a lovely friend.
Hi, I'm Hina.
You're so moody. Why aren't you fasting? What's up with her today? Some of the comments that we often, as women, aren't able to openly answer to the menfolk around us due to embarrassment, maintaining a respectful relationship, or to avoid awkwardness from people looking at you as though you reveal secrets from MI6. From a young age, we've been programmed to hide our monthly cycles, our pads and cups, almost feeling ashamed to have them, and we wanted to talk about the impact of that on ourselves and those around us.
So I just wanted to start with, actually, my experience has been slightly different. And in one way, I was quite lucky, although lucky is like a subjective term, because my dad was the one that taught us about periods in relation to praying.
Oh, yeah.
So in my household, it's slightly different because when dad's the one that sat you down at 11, 12 years old to teach you about sort of the fiqh of periods and how you can pray and how you can fast, that little element of sort of shame, as you call it, is somewhat slightly diluted, which is quite nice, but that doesn't mean that in the household you didn't still grow up being like, let's not tell everybody that I've slept in for Sehri because I'm on a period, let's just say I'm not feeling very well, because nobody still wants to say it out loud. But that's also because there's other boys in the house, because I've got two brothers.
So what, they wouldn't know you're on your period?
Yeah, did you have to
just pretend not to know?
Well, I think when they're younger, it's a bit like, oh, she's not feeling very well, because if your brothers are younger, you know, if they're 11, 12 years old, the parents don't really feel like this is the time to explain it to them as well. But nobody ever wanted to say period out loud.
No, it's true. But in my household, we were just really open about it. So I'd literally be like, I don't have a period. And that would be
that whole mannerism as well.
Would be really shocked if they saw that. Like, wow. Like, you talk about that to your dad. The rest of my mates who are South Asian or even Muslims would really hide it. Some of them would fast, like actually just not eat for the whole day, just because it was shameful to be seen eating.
I think there was the whole expectation that you don't eat in front of people, but we don't do that anyway, and we don't expect to do that anyway. Even when you're at work, people are trying to be respectful and will try not to eat in front of you. So we didn't do that in the house, but you know, there was the expectation that nobody'd have to like pretend fast. And even waking up in the morning, there wasn't an expectation that you had to still wake up. You know, you'd say, oh, one of the girls isn't feeling very well. But one of the things that's made me think about now is my mum still had to. She still had to wake up all the time.
Regardless. The mums all did.
Yeah.
Gosh, there's better wives than, I think, the modern wives.
I've never thought about that. Because even my mum would have had to have woken up for Sehri every time, even though she'll have been on her period.
So as much as we're like, well, you know, you shouldn't need me to wake up, now in retrospect I think my poor mum had to wake up all the time, because if she didn't, it's not like they were going to make their own breakfasts.
I think the problem is the effect that it has then on the boys later in life, when they actually get married and they have relationships with women. And they don't understand the menstrual cycle at all.
But I think even now men still don't understand how it works. I remember reading a really interesting story about a girl who, I think she was either at work or she was either at school, and she asked a teacher, well, can I've just come in my period, can I please go to the toilet? And he's like, no, you can't, you'll go in your break time. But I can't. And like, there's the amount of men that actually don't fathom how it works. The basic principles of it. So I think when you start with that level of misunderstanding, it's no wonder we've got to a point that we can't even say it in our houses. And I don't think it's just the men. I think the women, like for me in my house, I think it was more my mum didn't want me to say it in front of my dad.
Yeah, same.
Now,
I think that was
outside,
same
even outside of fasting, if even outside of fasting on a normal month, she's like, have you prayed, you know, your salah? And you're like, no. But why? Because I'm on a period, mum. She's like, shh. But you know, like, you're not supposed to say that. To which my answer is, stop asking me questions then, and then I won't answer it.
Yeah, I used to get the check-in. I used to get my dad asking me, And funnily enough, actually, I was speaking to my sister about this the other day, and I was like, so I didn't really have an issue with dad knowing about me being on a period. Like, it was never an issue. Like, if I wasn't fasting, he'd just be like, oh, are you not fasting? Oh, why? Oh, you can't. Okay. Again, it was like the word period was taboo.
Yeah.
So it was you just can't. That's it. And like, it's the secret unknown. But I was speaking to my sister and she was like, oh yeah, for years, you know, we like led the way. I am obviously three sisters older than me. And she was like, yeah, basically we had to like hide our period for a very long time. We came and woke up for Seri because mom made us do that. And then eventually we got to an age where like we could, even dad was like, why are they always like, like, hold on, she's not praying to Namaz, so she's not like fasting. And then my mum would be like, yeah, yeah, she's not fasting. So she's like, but she woke up with Seri, so why are they doing that? Like, and so he kind of like changed rules and was like, tell them to stop waking up for Seri because they don't need to. Like, if they're not fasting, I know. So like, it's okay. They don't need to still pretend. So yeah, he kind of like changed that rule and they were like, yay, we can sleep. So yeah, they kind of led the way for me.
Why do the women do that in the first place though? Like, why does it take the man to decide to change that?
I think it comes from that. I think for my mom especially, it comes from that cultural expectation that you're not supposed to talk about it. They couldn't talk to their parents about it. Yeah. And I think it comes from that and the whole sort of shame and haya and modesty thing. But in our house, you could talk about periods because, well, if I needed to ask my dad whether I could fast or if I had an irregular period or something, that's who I'd ask for the answer to that question.
That's what I mean. I think
that takes away that barrier.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you say like shame and modesty and stuff, but these things are mentioned like in...
They're completely natural.
Religion. Yeah, like they're, you know, they're openly talked about, like, so it's weird that we still feel that shame when, like, it's our divine guidance where guided boards are not fasting.
It's just a representation of a healthy ovulating body. So I don't really get why it is so much. But at the same time, I just think that it, like Kino was saying, it's just a massive culture thing. I think it's just a real South Asian.
Yeah, but even like at work, the guys like that I work with who are Asian, like I'll say I'm not fasting and they get really embarrassed because they don't know what to do and they'll just walk
away. Think men get a lot of secondhand embarrassment talking about periods, and this isn't just South Asian men, and this is men.
No,
at work, do I want to hide not eating at work when I'm surrounded by people who aren't even Muslim? Oh, Hina, I thought it was Ramadan, you know, because they know a little bit about it because we've told them. Oh, but you're not fasting today. Or did you not just want to? And you just think, I could just say, yeah, I didn't want to. But I could also be like, excuse me, mate, I'm actually on my period. And do you really want to tell your boss that?
Exactly, this whole conversation.
I do tell people. I mean, you don't fast when you're on your period.
Yeah. No, I think you can say that in like a conversational way. Mm-hmm. But you know what it's like at work, especially if you've got a relationship with people all here.
If you have to sit and explain the whole thing, then it's a bit like, you know what, I'll just not eat in front of you. I'll go and eat in the prayer room.
Oh yeah. And then a Muslim boy will walk into the prayer room.
Yeah, but at least, you know, he'll get it a little bit.
I think that's what it is, though, isn't it? The mental energy of having to explain yourself.
Yeah.
And just like, I don't want to be everyone's Muslim babysitter. Do you know what? Forget it. I'll go eat by myself.
Being unable to openly talk about periods makes it difficult to explain hormonal imbalances. Being unable to explain emotional changes means that communication breakdown can affect the relationships around us too. And trust me, the last thing you need on your period is to fall out with someone.
Are you affected emotionally, Naima, by your period?
Yes.
By most things, really.
And it's like cliche, isn't it? Like, oh, are you on your period? Are you coming on your period? And you get really annoyed when people say that, but actually, that does happen. Like, you do get really, I get really emotional. Do you get emotional, Hina?
I think I must do, but I don't, like, badge it to my period. So I think it's about not understanding your emotions most of the time anyway, because we don't talk about them in our houses. You're like, why do I feel really annoyed by this one tiny thing my brother said to me today? And then later I'll go,
that's
why.
No, I 100% agree. So for like 5 years of having the cycle, I didn't coin together the fact that my emotions were hormonal, and it wasn't just who I was. So for like 5 years, I just thought I was this really moody, crybaby person.
So did we.
The negative times like outweigh the positive, right? So everyone did, you're right. Everyone was just like, she's, don't mess with her. And then when I got married, like I lived with someone who was really, really like calm. So in my house, we were all a bit feisty anyway. So it kind of blended in. But when I moved in with my husband, and then like, yeah, I started to notice the differences in the stages of my behavior, because he was always the same, always calm. And I was like calm some days, and then it would get worse, and I would cry over anything, over nothing. I would go psycho. And being unable to talk about it, because we weren't talking about it at home, just made it way more difficult. And we had to kind of work through that. Now, like, I can warn him. I'm like, look, I'm due on next week. Just be prepared.
I think a lot of this comes from the fact that we just don't ever talk about how we're feeling in our houses,
yeah,
in Asian communities anyway, regardless of when you're on your period. Like, one of the things that you find is like quite funny, where you go, oh, well, you know, you never really make up with your siblings, you have an argument and you just get on with it, but your mum is really nice, but we never talk about why you're feeling a particular way.
There's not even an apology usually if someone has done something wrong. Absolutely. It's just brushing on the top carpet, and then you move along with it. I guess it kind of gets mixed up, because you live most of your life with siblings, especially in an Asian household. You don't really move out and live with your friends. Majority of the time you've lived with your siblings, and then you'll move on. So I guess there is that whole norm of you're used to not talking about it, so having that understanding of that is really difficult anyway
So if you've not talked about it, and then someone's telling you that your behavior is because of a period, you're probably not going to get taken seriously either, because they don't believe that, because they're like, this is new, like, why didn't it happen to my sister or my mom or whatever, why is it only happening to you?
Whereas it did happen to your sister and your mom, but nobody ever talked about it.
Yeah, exactly. In lockdown, everything's heightened. And
That's true.
I fell out with my mate because of my periods. But I've fallen out with people. And I think because it's so heightened, I think that we really need to be able to talk about our emotions, and especially talk about your hormone imbalances within your household, especially during this time, because it's a lot more difficult. You can't just vent off whatever you would normally do to make yourself feel better.
But this is the thing, right? You said earlier, it's a problem for you when somebody mentions that, you're moody, you're due to come on. Is that why? And that's frustrating for you. But then when that is actually the case, because when I know you're due to come on, I don't say it because I know it's going to piss you off. But I really want to say it because I want you to also be aware, like, you're not usually this extreme. Really?
I don't know. It's just offensive when someone says it, because sometimes your emotions are valid, or even if it is because you're drunk, you still feel it.
I think that's what it is, though. It's also like women have traditionally sort of basically been like gaslighted by men by saying, well, you're just feeling like this because you're on your period.
Yeah.
You know, and as though it's an irrational feeling, or you're not allowed to sort of feel that way. So therefore it bothers you even more, which thinks, actually, I'd be equally as annoyed if I wasn't on my period.
Yes. Yeah. I think you just don't feel validated. Your emotions don't feel valid then if someone says that to you. And at that time, they feel like real, and they are
valid. Yeah, of course.
So I think that's why it's really important to be able to have these conversations with the men and the women.
Yeah, I guess some of us women that don't really have those symptoms are really annoying for most 90% of women who do actually suffer from PMS. Because, like, when you don't, it's like, whoa, why do the others?
Well, I don't suffer from period pains. Alhamdulillah, mashallah, touch wood, everything. I don't suffer from period pains at all. And so I can't really comprehend when, you know, when people are like kind of bedridden. Yeah. And I'm just like, so I'd be annoying for them. But even that in itself, like not being able to get up and physically do anything. Yeah, in like our mums would have had to have done for Sahri and stuff. Or so they'd have to like get up, probably if they were like having cramps or whatever. If you had those kind of conversations with the men in your house, or even the other women in your house, whatever, then people would be able to be more understanding of that. Do you know what I mean?
Mm. But I also think that one of the things that we probably underestimate ourselves is the impact that your cycle has on everything. So let's talk about like pre-quarantine life. the impact your cycle has on just how much you can concentrate that week, or how much you can perform, say, for example, if you're in the gym that week, or if your skin's breaking out, and then all of those things happen to fall on that particular week, and you just generally feel a bit shit about everything. And we've kind of understood ourselves enough to go, oh yeah, that's why I'm not feeling great. But when your performance isn't great at work, or whether it's at the gym, or your skin's not feeling great, or you're just feeling a bit, I don't know, frumpy, or whatever it is, all those things impact your emotions times five, because it's not just I'm on my period and it hurts, it's I'm on my period and I feel like shit and I look like shit and nothing's going right, and it really does spiral into that entire sort of like ball of emotions, and then we go, well, I don't know what to do with it now. I feel all right now.
Yeah, no, I remember having friends at school, you know, like when you first start your period and it's all very exciting, some of you have started, some of you haven't. I remember I had a friend at school who would have a real, really bad period, to the point where almost every month she would have to take 1 to 2 days off school because she was just never well enough to be there. And for some people who still weren't experiencing any of that, they were like, oh my gosh, what a trauma queen, oh my gosh, like, you know. And as you get older, that sort of mentality still sort of continues, but less so with the women, but definitely with the men. They still just don't understand how potentially painful it could be. And because it varies from one woman to another, there is that whole range.
Yes, yeah. And if you've never experienced that, or no one's ever told you, then you're not going to know, are you?
During lockdown, many women have reported that period symptoms have been magnified, so hiding our monthly cycles and emotions can feel much more difficult. But when the people around you are in tune with what you might be going through, it can help us all.
Yeah, so we kind of touched on that, didn't we? Like, if you're able to communicate your feelings, communicate your emotions and your physical pain to the people around you, then surely they're gonna be more empathetic towards your position.
And has your response changed? Your response to like your period, like, you know, when you're pre-lockdown, like you might be doing something about your period feelings, feeling shit, all of that stuff. Like you'd go somewhere, do something, talk to someone. But like now, is it any different? Do you do anything different to help you?
So I've only had one cycle, and that was right at the start. So I was really emotional, and I just went, it wasn't a good week. But this time I'm like aware, and I'm just, like taking it easy, I guess. For me, the emotions overtake me.
Normally, well, I think let's combine both lockdown and fasting, right? Normally, if you're on your period and you're not feeling great and it's lockdown, you go, do you know what? I'll just go and eat a little bit. It'll make me feel a bit better. I'll go for a walk. When you're fasting, you don't have that option. You don't really have as many options to just kind of pop out of your house. You know, if you're the kind of person who likes to go to the gym, you might be like, I feel terrible, but you know, even going to the gym a little bit will make me feel better. Can't do any of those things. The only options you've got is to be in your house and sit there and think about what you're thinking. And we're not very comfortable with that. We don't like sitting at home being alone with our own thoughts. That's why everyone's baking banana bread. Like, that's literally why. So I think if you combine all of those things, even outside your period, I don't think everyone's hormones are heightened anyway. Like, I've noticed that. I was like, why do I feel terrible? It's like, well, you know, your entire process and routine has changed, and that impacts like all your internal cycles. And we feel like if we just think we're, you know, overreacting or being a bit dramatic and I'll feel fine tomorrow, without actually paying much attention to going, oh, something's happening in my brain. Something's actually happening in my brain. So I'm allowed to rationally feel a bit upset, or feel a bit stressed, or my skin's allowed to be out of control, or I'm allowed to be a bit more irate than usual. Then add to that your period, and it couldn't get much worse, I guess, in that sense, for like the stress on your system.
There's just no distraction from it, really.
And I think it's the unknown as well. So it's the fact that like this is, we don't know how long this is going to last. And
even when it does end,
it's not going to be like back to normal, so there's still going to be like restrictions, and so how does that then affect what you would normally do? So I wouldn't say I have a lack of response. I actually probably try and avoid people more when I'm coming to my when I'm like at my most emotional stage, because
I try to
because I think as I've gotten older, I've gotten to know myself a bit better and my cycle a bit better, I've been able to like recognize when I'm being a little bit irrational. And so I try to avoid contact with people who I know might say something that might trigger me, even if they don't mean it, and even if I would usually just be like laugh it off. So I might tone it down. So in that sense, lockdown's useful. But you know, it's still not, because then the emotions that I'm feeling towards like missing my friends and family are really heightened. So I don't think there's much that you can do, but I do think that communicating with the people that you live with, even if you've never had that conversation with them before, and it might be uncomfortable, in your own way, you need to be having them conversations, especially if it's men that you need to be having the conversation with, because they need to know.
One of the ways that you can also like, not like change your response, but just being a bit mindful of your own response to yourself, just being a bit fair in yourself. But like, do you know, if you just feel terrible one day, we tend to give ourselves a bit of a hard time about it. Like, oh my God, pull yourself together. God, why is that one thing upsetting you? Instead of going, well, do you know what? I'm during my period, so I'm allowed to rationalize my own thoughts a little bit.
That's it. And, it is, you know, a
we're in a global like pandemic. So I think that is enough of a reason for me to feel a bit shit sometimes. And that's okay.
In case you didn't know already.
No, I totally agree. I think it is that whole thing of we should go easy on ourselves and allow ourselves to feel what we're feeling, so that others then allow us to as well. It has to start from you yourself. If you are constantly trying to hide or protect others from the negative feelings you're feeling at the time, it might not be almost counterintuitive for other people, because then they're like, oh wait, you're not allowed to feel this way, so let's not.
Yeah.
I totally agree. I guess it's one of those things, especially through the global pandemic, that it is heightened. And yeah, we gotta deal with it.
And with the whole period kind of situation, like maybe before, you could go out of your house and have a snack, or like avoid the men that you live with, or whatever. Like if you're Muslim and you're fasting Ramadan, then that's what you would do. You'd go out of the house and you'd meet your mates and you'd have a snack with them together if you were like on your periods together or whatever, which you can't do now. But don't deny yourself that. Like if you need to eat, you should be eating, you know? And they'll just figure it out.
I always find it really interesting that like the one thing that we have been allowed to do is eat. And then it's almost like, yeah, let's not eat. Wait, hold on. It was made permissible for us to eat during a period.
God explicitly told you to eat. Like you're not doing anyone any favours by not eating.
It's like, I told you to do it. Why not? Like, yeah, exactly. It's just silly. So, I think it's really important that we don't act like it's devil's work to be on the period.
There's one other thing, though, that we talked about a little bit earlier, was around sort of expectations on women while fasting in Ramadan. And I think because of that, the question around periods is even more heightened. So going back to the point around your mom's expected to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning to make a full breakfast for the family, she can't have that break even if she wanted to. And I think that's why your mom's response sometimes is, yeah, wake up for Zehri, because I don't ever have the option And that also goes back to the fact that, yeah, well, why is it one day one of the men in that family couldn't get up and make some cereal? It's not that hard for them to get up, make themselves a bowl of cereal. I think that we don't even consider.
There's a disconnect between like the women prior to us and us now. So I think there's a little bit of like a disconnect. So even my mum sometimes will be like, oh, well, we didn't have, you know, you're so lucky. Yeah. Your husband cleans. Like, we didn't have it like that. And I'm like, yeah, but if you wanted to, you could have made it happen. You can't, don't be hating on me. you know what I mean? If people are aware that, like, not necessarily my mum, but like maybe the aunties and stuff, they might be aware that my husband's a bit more domesticated than the normal South Asian man, and they feel really tight on him, and they're like, oh, you know, it's so unfair, and bichara, like poor thing, poor guy. And I'm like, you know, we are our own worst enemies. That's what my mum was saying. Us women, we are our own worst enemies, because like we just don't make it easy for ourselves. So like when someone's got a good thing going, we'll make them feel shame as well.
I think the other thing is that as much as we in our generations are like, well, mum, why don't you just tell daddy he's gonna have to make breakfast on his own, which is generally my response, I guess one thing you have to think about is it is so ingrained on them to not do that. There's absolutely no way my mum would ever do that, because for her, like, that's part of her role or purpose or whatever it is. Or she's just ingrained. She's like, well, even if I didn't do it, who's going to do it for
her? Even though your dad was the one to teach you about, you guys, about periods, and your mum will have seen that, even then, that's so crazy, right?
It's about feeling as though, well, I need to do that, don't I? I need to make sure the boys in the house are fed, and, you know, I need to make sure that he's done this. And it is like this. It comes from care and love, and it comes from a good place, but it also then goes, I know it's coming from a good place, but it doesn't set always the best sort of example for the younger boys in the house who will grow up and like, well, who's making breakfast?
Also, it's also kind of setting them up for failure, you know? But that's for another topic. Thank you, Hina, for joining us.
Thanks, Hina.
It was fun to
this is the most amount of people I've spoken to on a Sunday in lockdown. I'm going to need a nap after this.
Careful. Oh, thanks
too
for
much being
me.
Social. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. We know the difficulties firsthand of having conversations like this one within our households. But during this time, let's change things together for the better. If there's anything we can do right now, it's open up these conversations.